late. Fellow listeners, I'm Rachel Lau. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from the unceded territory of the Musqueam peoples, the stolen lands that the UBC Vancouver campus is located on. And I'm here today to talk about 105 Kiefer Street, just in time for the last day of Asian Heritage Month, which occurs in May every year in what we now call Canada. As someone who is a second-generation Chinese-Canadian, growing up in Chinatown was a really important part of understanding who I am as a Chinese person. In fact, my mom's business was located a couple blocks away from 105 Kiefer Street, the subject at hand today anyway. The lot which sits right next to the Chinatown Memorial Monument is 105 Kiefer Street. And I could talk all day about why Chinatown is important to me, but it's not really about me. It's about our community as Chinese people living in Vancouver and what Chinatown means to us. This next clip was taken from the first day of the public hearings at Vancouver City Hall while community members from all walks of life flooded into the council chambers.
All right. Is anybody here a speaker? Or are you guys all observers?
I think you could hear a bit of the chaos that was happening and going down at City Hall, but that was also the first time in my recent memory did I witness such a strong sense of community. It was a good kind of chaos. Chinese seniors were wearing red t-shirts that read, "Protect the Heart of Chinatown," filing into City Hall, followed by Chinese youth closely after them. In fact, there were almost 180 speakers signed up to speak on the matter at the public hearing at Vancouver City Hall. The council chambers buzzed with energy, the energy of our community ready to protect Chinatown. A place of refuge, a place of heritage, a place we call home. To give you a bit more context about 105 Kiefer Street, the first rezoning application was submitted by Merrick Architecture and Beattie Living to the City of Vancouver in 2014. After four revisions, we find ourselves here at City Hall in 2017. The current application, as of May 2017, proposes that the building be 120 feet high, in other words, 12 stories high, with commercial usage on the first floor. So that means like businesses, nightclubs, whatever you want it to be. Basically, it's businesses. 25 units of senior social housing on the second floor, 106 market condo units in total, and 1,000 square foot seniors cultural space that's proposed to be rented to a community group. So hear that right, community group, it needs to be a specific group that is using the space for a reduced price for 10 years, only 10 years. The next clip is an excerpt of the city clerk presenting some of the facts at the beginning of the public hearing.
Before we do the speaker's briefing, so we'll go on to item number one, that's rezoning for 105 Kiefer Street and 544 Columbia Street. And clerk, please read the application and summary of correspondence received.
This is an application by Merrick Architecture to rezone 105 Kiefer Street and 544 Columbia Street from HA-1A Chinatown Historic Area District to CD1 Comprehensive Development District to permit development of a 12-story mixed-use building with commercial uses at the ground floor, 25 social housing units targeted to seniors on the second floor, and 106 residential strata residential units on levels 3 to 12. A height of 36 meters and a floor space ratio of 7.04 are proposed. The General Manager of Planning, Urban Design and Sustainability recommends approval subject to the conditions as set out in the summary and recommendation of the public hearing agenda. Since referral to public hearing, Council has received 120 pieces of correspondence in support of the application, 1,624 signatures on petitions in support of the application, 230 pieces of correspondence and opposition to the application, 110 postcards in opposition to the application, 2,430 signatures on a petition in opposition of that resolution. This represents all correspondence received up to approximately 1 p.m.
Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? 120 correspondents and 1,624 signatures showing support compared to 230 correspondents, 120 postcards, 110 postcards, 2,430 signatures opposed to the rezoning application. That is like 1,800 to 3,600. The majority of the folks who spoke their minds to City Hall is overwhelmingly opposed to the application. But I'm not going to be so naive to say that even if most of the community is opposed to the application, it automatically means that 105 Kiefer Street development won't be approved. It's up to City Council at the end of the day. That's why they held the public hearing in the first place. What follows after the city clerk announces the details of the rezoning application is a whole mess of jargon related to urban planning, development, and architecture, sprinkled with language about city policies and bylaws, about zoning requirements, and all that jazz. Here's a clip to give you a sense of what that sounds like.
Hello, I'm Paul Chang, Senior Development Planner with the Planning Department. One of the biggest challenges of this rezoning policy is how to reconcile a maximum building height of 120 feet in a historical district when prevailing building heights are in the 30 to 60 foot range. In order to ensure an acceptable contextual fit, the existing policies and the design review process of the application have helped staff assess this proposal in terms of contextual fit. Firstly, there are basic form expectations under the rezoning policy. 25-foot setback for all building elements above 90 feet is required for both Kiefer and Columbia Street elevations. This is in order to reduce the impact of the taller building segments above 90 feet. The proposal has responded with a form that goes beyond this minimum expectation by reducing the amount of overall building mass above the height mark. In particular, the setback from the Columbia Street elevation is 53 feet, thereby greatly reducing the amount of high building mass impacting the neighboring areas to the west of this facility.
I'm Ryan Beatty, President of Beatty Development.
That was a lot. I know. But essentially, what was explained by city staff is that the main challenge of the rezoning application at 105 Kiefer Street and 544 Columbia Street, the other side of the proposed development, is how to appropriately build a 12-story high luxury condo building in Chinatown. Also, allow me to note that the proposed building will be four times higher than any other building in Chinatown currently that exists. And it will effectively overshadow its surroundings, including the Chinatown Memorial Monument that we heard about at the start of this program, the Chinese Cultural Center, and the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden. So as much as the city staff have proposed to slice some parts of the building here and there so it meets the zoning requirements, it sounds like to me that there is really no unintrusive way to add a 12-story tower to Chinatown. However, the applicant, Beatty Living, begs to differ. Here's Ryan Beatty, president of Beatty Group, at the public hearing.
President of Beatty Development, on behalf of my team, I'd like to thank you all for allowing us to speak and for consideration of our zoning application. When we purchased 105 Kiefer in 2013, we were excited about the opportunity to create a meaningful project and bring new life to a vacant site. New zoning had just been put in place, and the historic area Heights Review recognized the site as uniquely positioned to take on a marginal increase in height. It also encouraged rezoning to 120 feet from the upright 90 feet, with the expectation that the project would provide important community benefits. The last 4 years have been valuable, humbling, constructive as we worked with the community to get to where we are today. When we submitted our first application in 2014, it became clear that we had not heard the full spectrum of voices in the Chinatown community. Since then, there have been 5 open houses, including 4 city-led extensive community consultations. We've engaged every stakeholder who was willing to meet and share their thoughts. This consultation has resulted in improvements to the proposal. We reduced the height, eliminated the floor, reduced the massing, and sculpted the building out of respect for the Chinatown Memorial Monument and out of consideration for sightlines and shadowing impacts to Dr. Sun Yat-sen Gardens. We incorporated much-needed affordable housing for seniors, added non-exclusive cultural space, and increased the percentage of units that can be accommodated that can accommodate families. We have worked hard to incorporate passageways from the ground level to encourage organic movement through the buildings. This breaks the retail into small bays, which will meet the needs of neighborhood retailers. We know it's imperative that we get the retail right. As a result of the feedback from the community, the proposal before you will deliver a high-value community benefits package and an elevated quality of architecture and urban design, which this gateway site rightfully deserves. Research by the Chinatown Concern Group shows that since 2008, about 800 market housing units have been built in Chinatown, and only 22 non-market have been built. Our proposal includes 106 market units and 25 non-market, more than have been built in the neighborhood in a decade. EC Housing has partnered with BD to purchase 25 units at cost, and will rent these units to low-income seniors at safer or below safer rates. They have also confirmed they will conduct an open RFP process to engage a suitable operator. The cultural space we are including will serve thousands of people. The building will provide support services to the Chinatown night market, and in conjunction with the City of Vancouver, the Chinatown Memorial Plaza will be expanded. The opportunity for these community benefits simply would not exist if the project was developed under the allowable 90-foot height. The additional 15,000 square feet requested above 90 feet translates into 15,000 square feet of much-needed community benefit. These benefits far exceed the value of any community amenity contribution. We respect the many people who have principled and emotional reasons why they are resistant to this project. We are, however, not moved by people whose opposition is driven by personal agendas or desire to purchase the site, or those who have undermined council-appointed committees. There has been a great deal of misinformation about this project. We're very grateful to those individuals and organizations who have allowed us to provide accurate information.
I don't know about you, but BD sounded pretty convincing the first time I heard him at City Hall. But upon listening to the tape again, what I realize is that what he's leaving out when he says that BD is partnering with BC Social Housing, so BC Social Housing will buy 25 units at cost and renting them out at a safer rate. Safer rate, which stands for Shelter Aid for Elderly Renters Rate in Vancouver, is the fact that the safer rate in the city of Vancouver is currently in the $700 range. $700. Yeah, you heard me, $700. The average household income, get this, in Chinatown is $17,000 a year. You do the math. That's not a lot of money left for essentials after covering rent each month. How affordable is $700 per month for low-income Chinese seniors? But don't take my word for it. Here's BC Social Housing answering a question from City Council about these social housing units.
So once again, what sort of rent levels are we looking at? What are the safer rates right now, or what do we anticipate, and how are you going to beat that? I mean, what's the commitment?
All right, Mayor and Council, thank you for allowing me to speak. So we are exceeding the 30% that the city requires, obviously, with build rates that we set. We're committed to actually exceeding that by 100%. So we're going to be renting these at either safer levels, which are in the 700 range, I believe, in the city of Vancouver right now. And we're going to be targeting a nonprofit that will be bringing these rents down to below safer rates, so anything below 700. So, given that the units are 350 to 650 square feet, which is a really nice size for seniors' units, that's incredibly affordable. Our commitment is to target 100% of the 25 units.
What's interesting, so for those who are just tuning in, we're talking about 105 Kiefer Street today for Asian Heritage Month, and what you just heard was a clip of BC Social Housing responding to a question asked by City Council at the public hearing for 105 Kiefer Street's rezoning application. But back onto what Ryan Beatty had said at City Hall, I find it very interesting that Beatty pointed out that he's disappointed, or I quote, not moved, by those opposed to the development with their own personal agendas. And the personal agenda, air quotes, he's referring to is what Chinatown organizers are fighting for: social housing for seniors and for Chinatown to thrive as a community. People over profit. But I find it hard to believe that Beatty does not have his own personal agenda as well. This building in its current form will be profitable to Beatty. And if an agenda driven by profit isn't personal, I'm not sure what is. You tell me. So with 180 speakers lined up to speak that day on May 23rd at City Hall, there was much more to be said about 105 Kiefer Street. So much to be said that the public hearing was extended to be 4 days, May 23rd, 25th, 26th, and 29th in 2017. I was only present at City Hall on May 23rd and 29th. So all the clips you'll be hearing during this program was recorded at the public hearing on May 23rd. But I have chosen clips today that I feel embody many perspectives, both for and against the development. Some notable speakers on May 23rd included Jenny Kwan, MP of Vancouver East, Musqueam Elder Larry Grant, developer Bob Rennie, and Chinatown activist Shirley Chan, some of which you'll be hearing from today. But let's begin with speaker King Mong Chan from the Chinatown Concern Group.
我哋建立咗我哋先橋血，係建立咗我哋粵住民嘅血脈，為咗加拿大華人所有嘅犧牲，我哋所受嘅苦，我哋點去為咗佢哋個貢獻，我哋而家有咩計劃去尊敬他們咧？1000尺個社交空間，25個長者房屋，而且數量嗰啲可負擔嘅出租個價錢，我哋都唔係咁肯定，可能市價出租都唔知。
我講簡直就係羞辱，係侮辱我哋先橋。一個私人發展商係為咗賺錢，根本唔會足夠去尊重呢個咁重要嘅福地。所以我講，我哋講人民係先於利益。Good evening, everyone. My name is King Mong Chan. I'm the organizer of Chinatown Concern Group. I acknowledge that we are on the coastal territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. I'm asking City Council to reject the rezoning application. One of the primary reasons for the changes in Chinatown is gentrification and real estate speculation. Ever since City Council upzoned Chinatown 2011, we've seen accelerated displacement and marginalization of Chinese culture and community of Chinatown, especially the Chinese working class community. I came to Canada when I was really young, and spending the time with the community over these past years, has led me to discover more deeply my cultural identity. Here in Chinatown, I felt proud to be Chinese. I felt proud to have the color of my skin. Vancouver is built on the blood of our ancestors. It is built on the blood of indigenous people. For all the sacrifices Chinese and Canada have made, for all the lives lost, for all of their contributions, what is being proposed to honor them here? 1,000 square feet social space? 25 social housing units where rents can be market rate, or we don't even know exactly, no definite in the staff report, just verbal right now? This is an insult, an absolute insult to our ancestors.
有超過2500個網上更加多社區人士要求市長去拒絕這個發展項目申請收購衣服地去滿足社區的需要而發展包括低收入長者房屋和一個跨代性的社交文娛俱樂部。
I've received over 2,500 more online and paper from CUNY members petitioning you to reject the rezoning application, acquire the site, and develop the site to meet community needs, including low-income seniors housing and intergenerational community space. Yeah. And City Council, protect the heart of Vancouver's Chinatown. I also want to ask the City Council to make a procedural change for people requiring interpretation support to have more than 5 minutes.
Chan was very purposeful in speaking in both Cantonese and English. He wanted to make his speech accessible. There was a significant amount of seniors signed up to speak at the public hearing who were only fluent in Cantonese or Mandarin. You may have heard at the end of Chan's speech, he asked the City of Vancouver to give more than 5 minutes of speaking time to those who required interpretation. The City of Vancouver did not. Not for any of the four nights. Which meant that those who needed interpretation had their speaking time essentially cut in half. 2.5 minutes for speaking, 2.5 minutes for interpretation. What's worse is that the city translator did not thoroughly interpret what the Chinese seniors had to say. I say this because I understand both Cantonese and English, and I was there to witness the interpretation taking place. The city translator also allowed the speakers to cut her off when she did not finish translating. Here's a clip.
Over 80s, and you might say that this is a concern anymore.
I've been
with this group ever since you were set up. And I've gone to many public meetings.
I lived on
P350.
I just felt that there won't be a Chinatown anymore. And it's so gentrified. All the herbal stores were closing down. And the rent or the tax was so high. Ice cream, it costs $5. So coffee shops and
joints.
I only played a partial part of the clip because I do understand that most folks who are listening to CITR only understand Cantonese I meant English. Sorry. That was Tan Weizing, also known as Gong Tai in most of the community. She is a Chinese senior living in Chinatown right now, and she spoke of her many lived experiences in Chinatown, including being unable to buy groceries and daily essentials because of low-income local businesses being pushed out by gentrifying businesses. So even if you don't understand Cantonese, I think you may have been able to understand and pick up on the fact that there was some overlap happening. And what I spoke of before with the translator not allowing the Chinese seniors to finish before translating or vice versa really contributed to the misunderstanding and the fuzziness of the interpretation of those who didn't speak English. And while I recognize the translation was difficult given the time constraint, that's not a good excuse. If there was not enough time to properly translate, then Chinese seniors or anyone who spoke Chinese or Mandarin or did not speak English should have been granted more than 5 minutes to speak. On May 29th, there was also another Chinese senior who spoke neither Mandarin nor Cantonese. He spoke a dialect that sounded like it came from the southern parts of China. But despite not understanding the dialect, the city translator attempted to translate and interpret anyway. And in the end, the translator expressed incoherent fragments of what the speaker had to say, rather than being honest with the fact that he did not understand the senior. I remember vividly the translator shaking his head while returning to his seat after that senior spoke, admitting to himself that he did not understand what that person was saying. In this public hearing process, the city of Vancouver has demonstrated to the Chinese seniors that if they cannot speak English, they will not be fully heard. But not all seniors there were Chinese seniors, and not all of them were opposed to the development. Here's a clip of Musqueam Elder Larry Grant speaking in favor of the project at 105 Kiefer Street.
I'm Larry Grant. I used to use my Musqueam name, and I come from the Musqueam First Nation. I also lived part of my life here in Chinatown. I lived here in the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s. I'm half Chinese. My father is from China. And we've watched Chinatown grow up and down. It was very, very vibrant when we were young. The gambling joints were just popping. And today we have the casino, and it's the same problem. It's nothing to do about money. It's about a habit that we can't break. But we have seen how vibrant Chinatown can be. And we know that it's not just the CPR that are the labor contractors. We have Chinese labor contractors that grew rich and also built private buildings here. They're very in the same process, and it's something to watch the change from the 1940s to now, where businesses have gone dead, and we all have an idea why it's gone dead. The second and third generation have moved somewhere else, become profitable businessmen somewhere else, and have not reinvested in Chinatown. We have some today, but they still have single room open buildings, and that does not build the vibrancy of Chinatown. So I'm just speaking in favor of the proposal, but what I want to add is I've been to China a couple of times, into Hong Kong, and the city is basically all British, and it's all high-rises, into Shanghai, same thing. And Hong Kong has the reputation as having the most high-rises in the world more than New York City. Been to Beijing, seen the differences there in the different structures and how it works together. Been to Zhongshan, seen that. Been to Seimun, the village. Been to several other heritage villages that are being protected. They want to protect those buildings in those villages, very much as what is happening here. However, when you have a good look at those buildings, they don't have any Chinese characteristics. They're designed by European architects. Some of the largest buildings that I saw by some of the family members here that are opposed to the proposal, designed by Roman architects. And they want to protect all of that. I'm also proud to see the Sun Yat-sen Museum and got to read about him. Sun Yat-sen, the big man, Zhongshan, he had a dream, he had a vision. He took and went to medical school and he wanted better medical for the Chinese people, Western style, or a better education for the Chinese people, Western style, or a better transportation to connect the country, Western style. Transportation, education, medical, and home, building, rebuilding the building. Sun Yat-sen himself had that vision. And that's something that I saw when I was in China. And to me, that's what's happening here. The Memorial Center is that little curve, a little triangle in front of the garage that was there when we were kids. Across the road, what have we got? That represents Chinatown, a parkade. A parkade that replaced the gasworks that was there originally. The gasworks that supplied the city of Vancouver for the coal gas for the stoves and the coke process for the manufacturers. So that has changed already there. All the nightclubs are gone. All the acts that used to come here don't come here anymore. The businesses are dying because we don't have a diversity of income housed here in Chinatown. And that's what makes a vibrant community, the diversity of income. And that's what I see in the proposal that we have here tonight, that I know a lot of people are upset, and I probably would be too if I was living here, but I'm not. And I'm quite sure that many of the opponents actually have not been in this country very long. I've only been here 80 years, and I'm a first generation half Chinese, so it's something to see all of this about community, intergenerational, family connection with that proposal, with the 25 units and the community space in the bottom, and how they restructured the commercial space downstairs so that it represents the original Chinatown, where the alleyways were actually places that you went into to reach the businesses, the Green Door Cafe and places like that, and the gambling joints that were in back. Never mind the brothels, that's all part of that. So that I'm speaking in favor of the proposal, and I'm only speaking from a historical point of view and how we're trying to bring together intergenerational, familial, and diversity in income.
Given that Elder Larry Grant grew up in Chinatown, and given his recent work in the documentary All Our Father's Relations about his father and their history in Chinatown, I was surprised that he spoke in favor of the rezoning application. However, he did believe that Beattie's development would increase intergenerational interactions and a diversity of income in Chinatown. But these are things that can be achieved in other ways that do not involve Beattie's current proposal. And as folks who were listening may have heard as well, Elder Larry Grant indicated that he recognizes that folks are upset. Folks in the community are upset about this rezoning application. And he took the time to add that if he was living in the neighborhood, he would be upset too. But because he is not living in the neighborhood, he approves of this application. So while I respect Elder Larry Grant's opinion, I think it's worthwhile to question the statement he made at the public hearing. There are other community members who are in support of the project, such as various members of the Vancouver Chinatown Merchants Association, like Cyrus Lee and Vincent Ho, along with others like Eric Sito, who is the founder of the Chinatown Seniors Cultural and Recreational Coalition, all of which similarly believe that Chinatown needs a greater flow of people to bring the neighborhood back to its former glory. There is a belief that drawing in small businesses and consumers back into Chinatown is the solution. But what they don't realize or acknowledge, but don't see a problem with, that fact is the people who will be coming into Chinatown are not Chinese folks, and especially not low-income Chinese seniors. The people who will roam through the streets of Chinatown are those who can afford to live in the new Chinatown and the new businesses that are going to be there. And this is the new Chinatown that developers like Beattie are trying to build. The people who are going to be walking through and living in and thriving in Chinatown are middle class, young people who are often white. And not surprisingly, people in this demographic spoke in favor of the rezoning application at the public hearing. But speaking of developers, Bob Rennie, notoriously known as the Condo King in Vancouver, also spoke his mind at the public hearing, and yep, you guessed it, in favor of the project at 105 Kiefer Street. Here's a clip of Bob Rennie at the public hearing at Vancouver City Hall.
My name is Bob Rennie. Thank you, Mayor Robertson, Council, for allowing me to speak tonight, and staff, and all the speakers that they came before me. It's fascinating. I'm here as a private citizen. I'm not a developer, contrary to popular belief. I will continue to use my voice on supply as a real solution to livable, walkable communities and housing, and to affordability, whether it be non-market, family housing, or seniors as rental or ownership. This is only my third time in 42 years in business that I have spoken before council. I am here as a stakeholder in the Chinatown community, the owner of 51 East Pender, the Wing Sang building, the oldest building in Vancouver's Chinatown, built in 1889. We went through a painstaking 4.5 year heritage restoration, which included saving the oldest schoolroom in the city. My family and I wanted to contribute to the Chinatown community by bringing sustainable architectural life, arts and cultural life, and merchant life to the community. Today, the Wing Sang building is home to our offices and the Rennie Museum. We are open to the public free of charge 3 days a week. We have over 900 museum visitors per month that take guided tours, and over 100 students per month that come to tour the art collection and the history of the building. Visitors that also participate with the Chinatown merchants. Our 82 full-time employees and our 130 licensed brokers and all of their clients can be seen at Goldstones on Kiefer for breakfast and at lunch at the Newtown Bakery on Pender. I believe that if we create life on the street, if we create sustainable merchants, we can then create a sustainable Chinatown. We need to bring more body heat to the sidewalks of Chinatown for Chinatown to succeed. merchants require consumers. When you go home tonight, pull out your iPhones and go to tripadvisor.com, Vancouver, Chinatown. I'm not proud of what I see on there. It is embarrassing. Unfortunately, Musette Cafe at 75 East Pender moved to Burrard Street and its predecessor failed. Two doors over, the Peking Lounge sits empty. Heritage restaurants sit empty. The herbal shop on the corner, the herbal shop site on the corner of Pender and Columbia just sold for $1.7 million over the asking price, $7.6 million for a 50-foot lot. I pay Victor $75 a day, $75 a day, 5 days a week to walk down the sidewalk on Pender because I want to be a good merchant. I believe that Chinatown is at a fork in the road right now. If I look out 5 years from now, the only way that herbalist can stay is if we bring back a walkable, livable community and fill those vacant storefronts. I want the 25 senior housing units back in the neighborhood that this development offers. Of course, 25 is not enough to solve seniors' housing, but it's a start. Of course, the 110 homes are expensive. When there's no supply, housing will be expensive. Of course, the memorial monument should be respected, revered, and enshrined beyond where it is today. We will never satisfy architectural intrusions in the heritage community, but we can protect the heritage buildings, protect that unique scale that will be Chinatown forever. But saying no to housing stock and seniors will not save Chinatown. The herbal shop, that 50-foot lot that just sold for $1.7 million over what they asked, is the real fork in the road. The real risk is that without taking a chance on the BD development is that the lot will sit vacant or a less community-minded developer will come along and the herbalist on Pender Street 5 years from now will become a money mark, a check cashing place or a 7-Eleven, and that is not the Chinatown any of us envision. We need diversity, and diversity includes people that can afford to shop with merchants in Chinatown. Unless we bring more residents to the area and create a community, Chinatown will fail. You know why Kitsilano, Commercial Drive, Main Street, Fraser Street, Denman, and even Strathcona communities are sustainable? They all have what really makes a community. They have residents, diverse residents, tenants, and homeowners. Chinatown does require more people walking to work from their home in the morning and walking from work back home. A livable, walkable street with sustainable merchants. If you remember the Olympic Village, it was a ghost town. I said if you have the litter coffee cups in the plaza proving there is life in the village, you will end up with a sustainable community. Now we have to risk manage Chinatown by accepting a new model. As a stakeholder, I believe this development will offer more gain than pain to the Chinatown community. Thank you very much.
I think the audience's reaction to Rennie's speech speaks for itself. But what I want to talk about is the fact that Rennie said the community should take a chance, and I quote, on Beattie's development or else a less community-minded developer will come along and work to gentrify and take away the character of Chinatown. In other words, if the Chinatown community doesn't settle for the 25 units of senior social housing at approximately $700 per month, don't forget, and a senior social space that is 1,000 square foot. And for those folks who have looked at the plan that has been proposed, the senior social space, 1,000 square foot, does not have a bathroom, does not have storage space, and really, in essence, is a hallway. But that being said, Rennie is saying that the community should settle for these things, this 25 units of senior social housing and this cultural senior space, or they'll have nothing. Not to mention that Beattie's development is not free from its gentrifying potential either. The last speaker from the public hearing that I would like to share with you listeners is Jean Swanson from the Carnegie Community Action Project. And this is a speaker who touches on a lot of the things that Bob Rennie deemed and claimed to be benefits to Chinatown. Jean Swanson provides some critiques of those things. Here's Jean Swanson at the public hearing at Vancouver City Hall.
just like to acknowledge that we're on the Stolen Coast Salish territory of the Musqueam, Tsleil Waututh, and Squamish people, and thank them for allowing us to be here. I also think it's kind of discriminatory that the Chinese-speaking people didn't get double the time that people that don't get translation get. Anyway, I mostly want to talk about, I urge you to deny the rezoning application, and I mostly want to talk about housing. We have about 1,200 homeless people in the downtown east side, including Chinatown. We have hundreds of seniors who need decent housing. And last year in the downtown east side, there were 11 units of welfare pension rate housing opened up. Your housing reset report says that 64,000 renters with incomes under 30,000 will need housing by 2026. There's nothing in the staff report that guarantees that even one of these units at 105 will be affordable to seniors who need housing. I'm a senior. My OAS and GIS is $1,400 a month. 30% of $1,400 is, ta-da, $420. It's not $700. It's not 962. This proposal brings up another huge problem with so-called developer-provided housing. Namely, developers don't provide it. In this case, BC Housing is giving Beatty $7.3 million, or, as someone asked this earlier, $292,000 per unit. And so far, legally speaking, 70% of those units can rent for market rents. And Beatty gets 155,000 DCL exemption because BC Housing pays $292,000 per unit. It's kind of scandalous if you ask me. The staff report says that this application, if approved, would support and advance the objectives of the housing and homelessness strategy. It might support a very flawed strategy, but it certainly doesn't support homeless people, or even at this point, there's no guarantee that seniors on fixed income will be supported. The staff report also says the application has become a symbol of the struggling Chinatown community. And I would add that it's become a symbol of the struggle between the Chinatown community, which wants to preserve Chinatown for its culture and living human beings, and the city, which seems to want to make Chinatown into another Yale town. The staff are saying it's okay to disregard the overwhelming disapproval of this project in the community because they're reevaluating the Chinatown development policies with the objective of better controlling the form of new development and protecting Chinatown's culture. So why should we trust this new report that's coming out? We call it the Chinatown Revitalization Action Plan. We call it the CRAP. Why should we trust that it will be anything different than what has already destroyed the essence of Chinatown? So this afternoon I get, probably all the speakers got this little memo, hastily crafted memo, about how staff or council or somebody has now seen the evils of the old Chinatown plan and are changing the new one. So it does, but the thing is, it doesn't even mention in this memo anything, not one word about low-income housing, which is what's desperately needed. We don't need more condos in Chinatown. Just hoping you can honor those Chinese railroad workers and the soldiers in the memorial next to this site by, how can you honor them? By building a condo project right next to the memorial. A condo project that most of them, if they were alive, couldn't begin to afford. The city has lots of land. Do a trade. Give Beatty a nice piece of property in a rich neighborhood and let him build a tower on it. Support the Chinatown Chinatown concern groups demands of no market housing on this site. acquiring 105 Keeper, 100% social housing and shelter and welfare pension range, and an intergenerational multi-use community space with an emphasis on seniors.
In those 5 minutes, Jean Swanson highlighted some of the core problems with the project and how 105 Kiefer Street sounds awfully familiar to the Kiefer Block development that was built in 2015, which is one of the contributing buildings that is gentrifying Chinatown. And so she encourages the audience to think about, well, why should we trust city staff in this new proposal at 105 Kiefer Street when the original proposal is gentrification hidden in language about revitalization? As of May 29th, 2017, Vancouver City Council has motioned to defer the decision on the rezoning application for June 13th. And in the meantime, I had the chance to talk to Beverly Ho of Chinatown Concern Group about 105 Kiefer Street. Beverly also spoke at the public hearing at Vancouver City Hall, but unfortunately, I was not present the night she was speaking. Here's my interview with Beverly Ho.
Can you tell me a little bit about your experience with resisting 105 Kiefer Street ever since 2014?
I feel like Concern Group and King Wong have been opposed to it since 2014. I probably didn't find out about it until, like, 2015 or maybe early last year. But, yeah, we oppose the project because we've already seen so many condo developments move into Chinatown that are market rate or, yeah, like, condos that can be sold or, like, rentals that are really expensive, like, way out of the price range for residents in Chinatown, like, easily 700, 800 plus, even in the, like, more than 1,000 a month. Yeah, the average income in Chinatown is, like, 17,000, and a lot of people have fixed income, so either welfare or old age security. And so, yeah, like, the developments that have come in on Main Street have, like, brought in a lot of new businesses that really aren't necessities for the low-income neighborhood, and they've displaced low-income people and their businesses, like the supermarkets and the butcher shops, the shops that they need.
Right. And I know you were there for all 4 days of the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that I noticed when I was there at the public hearing was that although, you know, they did say that most of the correspondents were opposed to the rezoning application to 105 Kiefer Street,
yeah,
in terms of, like, numbers, there were also quite a few folks who were speaking in favor of the project. So what I would like to know is what your thoughts are on the fact that there is such a conflict between people who approve of the rezoning application and people who oppose it.
Well, I'm not, like, I don't hate anyone who approves the project. It's just, unfortunately, a lot of people who support it are really anti-poor and anti-drug user, and they think that the problems in Chinatown are caused by that, and that's really not the root cause. Or they're seniors that think that the 25 seniors that are really advocating for this senior space and the 25 senior social housing units, but I don't think a lot of them know that most of those units will be really unaffordable, like the cheapest ones. There's going to be 8 units that are around $700 to $900 a month, which is ridiculous, like, for a Chinese senior who's on OAS, because that's sort of based on how long you've lived and worked in Canada, and a lot of them, like, haven't been here for that long. So, yeah, and the senior center is also really inaccessible because it's really small. There's no storage space. There's no, like, space for admin. There's no bathrooms. It's pretty much just a hallway, like, on the ground floor. And the rent there, yeah, we don't know what the rent will be. So,
great.
And it's also only for, like, a certain seniors group, for Eric Cito's group. So it seems like he brought in a lot of his seniors to support the project.
Right, and you're talking about the proposed senior cultural space that BD has offered, that 1,000 square foot space that's supposedly going to be rented to a nonprofit group for
only
a reduced market price at for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know that you are working with Chinatown Concern Group for opposing 105 Kiefer Street, but I'm actually really interested in what's at stake for you personally, like why you care about 105 Kiefer Street personally.
I care about it a lot because I grew up going to Chinatown a lot, and my family like depended on the grocers there, and we've always been accepted in the community there, like a lot of overseas Chinese. And like a lot of speakers have said over the course of the 4 days, like the 30 plus hours of the public hearing, that it's a place where they can learn about their heritage and their language and learn from their elders. So I think that's what's really important to me. And I think the stakes are even higher now that I've grown really close to Concern Group members and they feel like family to me, and it's going to affect them the most because they're all working class residents in the neighborhood. Yeah, and I think I remember on one of the public hearing nights, one of the counselors said that the side in opposition was being really aggressive or confrontational. And I think, like Harsha Walia said, like, it's hard not to be mad. Like, I think we have the right to be mad because our elders' lives are at stake. Like, their home, their neighborhood is at stake. Like, this is pretty much everything they have. And they just want to age peacefully and be able to stay in the community that they built.
That was Beverly Ho from Chinatown Concern Group and my interview with her. I think Beverly really highlighted the tensions around the issue. And reflecting upon the 2 days I was at City Hall for the public hearings, I got a sense that everyone there wants what they think is best for Chinatown. Chinatown is a place that represents our heritage and our struggle as Chinese Canadians in Vancouver. It was a neighborhood that rose out of a government that did not want us. It flourished because Chinese folks decided to live the best life they could despite their experience of systemic racism. But that's just me and my thoughts. What are your thoughts? Do you oppose or approve the rezoning application by BD for 105 Kiefer Street? For those of you who feel fired up about the issue, I highly encourage you to research more about the topic, especially given that there are certain vocabulary words and bylaws and languages that you need to know in order to be able to fully grasp the issue. Even I myself had trouble learning some of those things or understanding some of those things at the public hearings. All the documents posted by the City of Vancouver are public and available online. You can search 105 Kiefer Street, Vancouver, and it'll be the first result in Google. But also, if you can, show up to City Council, show up to the meeting on June 13th. They will be discussing the matter again. And really hold your government, your local government, accountable, because your voice and your presence matters. So be there. June 13th, Vancouver City Hall. This is Rachel Lau. Thank you for listening. Happy Asian Heritage Month, y'all.
How's it going?